online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the HSE says it's still a long way from having most serious services back up and running following the recent cyber attack. We'll hear from the HSE CEO and also from the general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital. The Taoiseach says the government is likely to miss its target of having 82% of adults given a first vaccination by the end of June. Johnson & Johnson supplies will not reach the level that had been hoped for. Ministers will later this evening decide on what restrictions to ease in July, with an announcement expected tomorrow. And an important spending watchdog predicts Ireland's economy will bounce back once the COVID-19 restrictions lift. Later in the bulletin, Oisin will be here with the sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. And as it is a Thursday, we'll have the farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. That's coming up directly after the sport. But we begin with that announcement from the HSC CEO this evening that they're still a long way from having most services back up and running following the recent cyber attack. Chemotherapy services are now operating at between 80 and 100% capacity, but there's major disruption to radiotherapy. Nationally, the HSC says progress is being made, but a decryption key provided by the hackers isn't unlocking some of the systems. CEO Paul Reid says the attack continues to cause problems.
The risks to our health service right now are carried across all aspects of healthcare, and therefore in any analysis or any judgment of what the risks are in the health system right now, they're extremely red hot.
Well, some of Letterkenny University Hospital's servers have been restarted and limited services have resumed in the radiology department. However, some services remain restricted. Earlier today, the hospital's general manager spoke to Greg on the 9 till noon show.
We are starting to move into the recovery stage, Greg, but we're still very restricted in terms of return of services. There's been a lot of work ongoing, and I've got to say some very positive work in terms of the level of data damage in the hospital, in Letterkenny Hospital, has not been as great as it might have been, and certainly has not been as great as some other parts of the country. At this stage, well, even in the last 24, 48 hours, we've got the all clear to start rebooting some of our servers and machines. We don't have fully operational systems as yet. We have some functionality back in our radiology system, but not enough to be able to start running outpatient diagnostics. For radiology, we've got a limited functionality that we can plug into the national system, because there's most of the NIMIS, which is our national imaging system, is run nationally. But what we don't have at this stage is, for instance, the ability to transmit images into wards or the emergency department. So the scenario that I described probably 10 days ago, where doctors are still having to go down to the radiology department to look at the scans on the machines, they can look at it now on a monitor. So, but it's still just having to go down to the department, so we still have delays. Yesterday's announcement, we had some functionality. People started turning up at the hospital today thinking that we would be back to normal. We're not, and we're still some way away from that.
And that was Sean Murphy, the general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital. The Taoiseach says the government is likely to miss its target of having 82% of adults given a first vaccination by the end of June. It comes as there will be very significant under-delivery of the single-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine in June. Ireland may get as few as 60,000 doses. 470,000 had been ordered. Health Minister Stephen Donnelly told the Dáil today that the figures are not good.
There are questions around AstraZeneca. We don't have the exact numbers. Moderna, there is a slight adjustment, but Moderna, it looks to be coming in on time. Pfizer, there's been a slight adjustment, but Pfizer assures that by the end of June we will have the contracted amount. So in short, Deputy, it looks like we're going to get a significant under-delivery on Janssen, and there are question marks as to what's going to come in from AstraZeneca.
And ministers meet this evening to decide on which restrictions to ease in July. The Cabinet Subcommittee on COVID will consider the medical advice ahead of an announcement tomorrow. With more, here's political correspondent Sean Defoe.
Tonight, ministers will plot the way forward through July and August. Neffat gave largely positive health advice yesterday, clearing the way for a number of decisions. The subcommittee will examine a date for the return of indoor dining, likely in early July. It will also be updated on live events, including gigs and matches with spectators that will take place over the summer. Trial events in June are expected to lead to a wider reopening in July or August. Decisions will also have to be made on international travel and when Ireland will adopt the digital green cert. It's expected to be the end of July, with the government also moving today to extend mandatory hotel quarantine until July 31st. While the Cabinet Subcommittee will also be updated on the vaccine programme and revised dates forced by an under-delivery of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine in June, which means plans to offer 82% of adults a vaccine by the end of next month will be delayed.
Up to 20% of nursing homes in Donegal were affected by an outbreak of COVID-19 during the first wave of the virus. A report by HICWA shows that dropped to less than 10% in the second wave. A link to that full report is available on our website, highlandradio.com. An important spending watchdog is predicting Ireland's economy will bounce back once COVID restrictions lift. The Irish Fiscal Advisory Council told the Oireachtas Budgetary Committee it has concerns about the government's spending plans over the next number of years, but it expects a boost in the short term as the country reopens. The chair of the council is Sebastian Barnes.
Firstly, we do expect the economy to bounce back fairly quickly. So we should be, if all being well, with the vaccination and its effectiveness, we should be in a position where the economy is much, much stronger quite soon. And so I think that means we can look ahead a little bit.
Ireland's been deemed a negligible risk for BSE by the World Animal Health Organization. Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue says it's a ringing endorsement of the country's robust animal health, food and safety controls. The minister says he's hopeful the announcement will support what he's described as our world-class beef farmers and the wider beef sector. A 51-year-old man has been arrested as part of the investigation into the murder of police officer Michael Ferguson in Derry in 1993. Detectives from the PSNI's Legacy Investigation Branch detained the man in the city this morning as part of their ongoing inquiries into the killing. A number of others were arrested earlier this month as part of the same investigation. Constable Ferguson was 21 when he was shot dead by the IRA on Shipkey Street in Derry. Mica-affected homeowners from Donegal will travel to Leinster House in the coming weeks in a bid to further highlight their calls for a 100% redress scheme. The decision to take their campaign to Dublin on June 15th has been sparked by comments made by Minister Malcolm Noonan in the Dáil this week that the current redress scheme is fair and equitable. Thousands of homeowners affected by the defective block issue took to the streets on Saturday last in protest at the 90-10 scheme. Affected homeowner and long-time campaigner Eileen Doherty says it's time to ensure that householders' voices are heard at the highest level.
I think really when we had a listen to the response from the Minister on Tuesday night in response to the questions were asked by the TDs in the county, Joe McHugh and Padraig McLaughlin, as well as others, and we were very, very disappointed and feel that government are still not listening and are still not taking the issues of with the defective block scheme seriously.
And then a show on councillor is urging Donegal County Council to write to the Health Minister as a matter of urgency to make life-saving amyloidosis treatment available in Ireland. Councillor Terry Crossan is bringing forward a motion at next week's plenary meeting on the non-provision of the treatment patisiran. Councillor Crossan says it's not just that the high number of people in Donegal living with the condition can't get access to the drug, but it's available across the border in Northern Ireland. He says action must be taken to allow access to patisiran for all.
My lifelong friend and comrade Martin McGuinness had his amyloidosis, and of course we all know that he eventually died from it, but I'm aware that this can appear in clusters, and there is a disproportionately high number of people in Donegal living with amyloidosis diagnosis, particularly in the south and Shone area, and particularly in the area around the Burt. I now understand that there is a drug treatment available which can successfully treat amyloidosis. That drug is patisiran, which has been approved for the use of amyloidosis patients in the EU, Britain and the North. The denial of patisiran to patients in the 2020s is unjust and is unjustifiable. The HSE drugs group, which will ultimately decide whether or not the government will fund patisiran through the public health system, apparently have dismissed this. So I am now calling on the Donegal County Council to write to the HSE and ask them to reconsider and to eventually make this drug available to those who are suffering from amyloidosis.
And that was Councillor Terry Crosson. A Donegal deputy says there doesn't seem to be an understanding at government level of the extent to which long healthcare waiting lists are impacting on patients and their families. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin is urging people to take part in an online survey on waiting lists launched by his party, which he says it will be used to tell the real story of what's happening. He says while COVID-19 and the recent cyber attack are having an effect, the reality is waiting lists are the legacy of a decade of neglect.
The problem with the headlines about the hospital waiting list is that they become just numbers, just statistics. So we need people to engage with our health spokesperson, David Cullinan, and to tell us their experience, their real life experience, so that David can relay this to the Minister for Health, to the HSE, and make the case for the urgent need now to invest in additional nurses, doctors and beds in the public system.
There's a link to that survey on our website. Agriculture and Marine Minister Charlie McConnellogue says the EU must reject a Norwegian attempt to secure more mackerel quota following the expiry of a UN agreement at the end of last year. Minister McConnellogue says Norway unilaterally announced this morning it would give itself a 55% increase in its share of the mackerel stock in 2021. He says a new agreement hasn't been possible in the aftermath of Brexit, but the Norwegian announcement means either the stock is overfished or other parties must take a smaller share. Neither option, he said, is acceptable. A Cork TD claims young people in the city are being offered driving theory test slots in Donegal later this summer when they apply online. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar pledged to look at providing more slots after Cork South West Deputy Chris O'Sullivan outlined the situation facing young people who are applying for a test.
We had an announcement during the week that the theory test could be applied for online, very much welcomed. 3,000 slots were taken within minutes. There is still a lot of frustration out there. I know of individuals who have had their appointments rescheduled on 6 different occasions. If you're living in Cork now, if you're a young individual applying for your theory test, the nearest appointment is in Donegal in July.
And TV presenter Dr. Christian Jessen has been ordered to pay damages of £125,000 to Arlene Foster. It's after he posted a defamatory tweet which made unfounded claims that the North's First Minister was having an extramarital affair. Delivering his judgment at the High Court in Belfast, Mr. Justice McAllenden described the tweet as outrageous, saying it affected core aspects of Ms. Foster's life. Speaking outside the court, her lawyer, Paul Tweed, said he believes it's a record sum for a tweet.
And the award also takes into account a number of aggravating factors in this case, including Dr. Jessen's failure to retract and apologise.
Sport on Highland brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the new Donegal Portland leisurewear range online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
5:15, we say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Don. We start with soccer. Republic of Ireland midfielder Robbie Brady will leave Burnley when his contract expires this summer. The 29-year-old Dubliner became the Claret's record signing when he joined from Norwich for £13 million in 2017. A knee injury in 2018 sidelined the former Manchester United Academy player for 11 months, and manager Sean Dyche says he was incredibly unfortunate to suffer a series of other injuries in recent seasons. Brady says he had a phenomenal time at Turf Moor, and he will remain at the club to rehab and Achilles tendon issue before making his next move. Tottenham are understood to be in talks with Mauricio Pochettino about returning to the club as their manager. He was sacked by Spurs in November 2019, just months after leading them to the Champions League final. Pochettino is currently in charge of Paris Saint-Germain, but he believes he's open to a return to North London. But it is believed rather that he is open to a return to North London. We'll wait to see. With a lot of interest on that one, if it happens or not. Manchester United boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has admitted he did consider replacing goalkeeper David De Gea for last night's penalty shootout in the Europa League final. The Spaniard conceded all 11 penalties and then missed his own spot kick as they lost 11-10 to Villarreal. Prior to last night, De Gea hadn't saved any of the last 25 penalties he faced, and Solskjaer debated bringing on Dean Henderson.
Well, you go through every scenario, of course, and it has crossed my mind in the build-up to the game, but penalty shootout can happen, anything can happen in those, so I stuck with the keeper who played all the game.
Rory McIlroy says he hopes to play at the Dubai duty-free Irish Open this summer. The four-time major winner is keen to tee up at Mount Juliet in July, but his preparation will be determined by travel restrictions between the USA and Ireland. McIlroy hasn't played the Irish Open since 2018. Graham McDowell will tee off his first round at the Charles Schwab Challenge in Texas at 5-7 Irish time. Canadians Adam Hadwin and American Kyle Stanley, Vincent Wally, Jordan Spieth and Kevin Streelman share the lead out in the course at 3 under par. PGA Championship winner Phil Mickelson is 2 over midway through his opening round. While Leona Maguire plays her second match at the Bank of Hope LPGA match play in Las Vegas against Jennifer Kupcho later, Maguire came from 2 down after 8 holes to defeat Ali Ewing 2-1 in her opening round robin group game yesterday. Today's match tees off at 6:45 Irish time. Ulster rugby coach Dan McFarlane says Lewis Luddock will leave a lasting legacy at the Northern Province. The South African-born fullback has announced his retirement from rugby after 7 years in Belfast. He made 112 appearances for the club, only 4 of which came this season, as a concussion sustained in November ultimately persuaded him to call time on his career. Finally, looking ahead to tonight here on Highland, the score will be live after the 7 o'clock news, where I'll be joined by former Harps player Declan Boyle to look ahead to Friday's big Harps clash with league leaders Sligo Rovers. We'll hear from Letterkenny Rugby Club's new head coach Paul O'Kane and Gary Jennings on his return to the British Rally Championship. Centurion Geraldine McLaughlin joins us ahead of the Donegal Ladies match with Mayo, and former Donegal under 20 manager and senior selector Gary McDade talks Donegal, Tyrone and Derry Gaelic football. The big talking point this week is around the fans' access to Ulster grounds and not the travelling counties outside of the north. Here's Gary's take on that.
If you're the home team, you'd be absolutely delighted that you have the fans behind you this weekend. I mean, the game was in the Melton Park late on, even though there's only 400 in there, they could make the difference. I mean, it was a big, you could see it, the teams in the Premiership across the water last weekend were delighted as well. Granted, there was a lot more in the stadium, but they're a lot bigger stadium, I suppose. But, you know, if you're Donegal and home this weekend, you'd be really, really happy, so you would, that you had the fans behind you, because and these games, a lot of these games in Division 1 are going down to the wire, so it could make a difference. It could have an influence. And listen, it's a wee pro for Armagh this weekend. It's a mark, a tick against Donegal.
That's Gary McDade, and there's more from Gary tonight in the Score programme just after the 7 o'clock news. Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. Well, as it's a Thursday, it's time for Farming News and Views, and we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Firstly this evening, Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnell-Logue this week announced the commencement of the 15% balancing payments to all eligible farmers under year 4 of the Sheep Welfare Scheme. This will bring the total amount paid to over €16.6 million to some 18,300 farmers. That's an average of around €900 each. Well, talks on a new common agricultural policy are going down to the wire this week and will have implications for all farmers in Donegal. Farm organisations have a number of reservations and are watching developments with keen interest. To find out more and what's coming down the track, I've been getting an update from Barry Cassidy, who is news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Yes, so farm ministers, as well as the European Parliament and Commission, are meeting in Brussels this week. I suppose they assembled there on Tuesday with hopes of striking a deal by Wednesday, which I suppose always looked like a very ambitious target. We're now into Thursday and we still haven't got a deal yet. But they are hopeful maybe by the end of the week of having something on the ground. But as I said, it's proven very, very controversial to now and quite difficult to strike the balance. I suppose the big issues that have emerged are the likes of eco schemes as well as the redistribution of farm payments. So there's still a lot of ground to cover there, but the noise is coming back that it is heading in a positive direction.
Now, if we go right back to the earlier days of the European Union or the EEC or the EC, initially CAP set up, one of the main reasons was food security. There's a lot of other strands since then have come into play, and not least the environmental side of things now becoming a major point.
Yeah, absolutely. That is essentially where this CAP reform is stuck now this week, is on including that environmental climate strand in the cap. I suppose, as you said, traditionally farmers have been provided with direct payments as income support to maybe subsidise cost of food production beyond maybe what the consumer is willing to pay for it. But now we obviously have seen these new priorities for Europe, and that's why they're looking at introducing eco-schemes within the direct payment envelope, which is a fundamental change really within CAP. I suppose up till now farmers have been given the option of taking up climate and environment measures through the likes of GLOS or REP. Under eco-schemes, this will be mainstreamed and offered to every single farmer. Now, farmers who opt out of that won't receive a full direct payment. I suppose the difficulty in Europe this week has been deciding on exactly what that budget should be, ranging from about 20% up to 30%. The latest compromise that we've heard that's on the table is putting 25%, and to put that in an Irish context, that's about 300 million of the 1.2 billion we pay to farmers annually. In direct payments, or for the average farm payment of 9,000 euros, about 2,000 euros. So it's a very significant proportion of money to be tied up in these eco-schemes. And these eco-schemes will have a cost to them, whether that be time or money for farmers, in terms of meeting them in order to secure that payment. And if they opt out, they will lose out on that portion of their direct payment.
And putting it into very simple terms, a lot of these schemes mean doing fairly practical and sometimes simple enough things. It could be to do with managing water courses or hedges or things on your land, but you will have to comply with certain criteria.
Yeah, so I suppose if farmers are familiar now with their BPS as it is, you apply in May and you receive your payment in September. Going forward, that will change from 2023. After you apply in May, you're going to have to tick the box that you want to do an eco-scheme. And then before you receive your payment, you'll obviously be expected to carry out a measure. Now, as you've mentioned a few of them there, the department has presented some of the samples. Now, once they finish the European reforms in Brussels, that is where the movement is going to be. Back at the national level to try and figure out what those measures are and what farmers will have to do. But I suppose it's very clear now that farmers will have to do more to secure the same amount of payment. And that obviously has created difficulty for our farm organisations and also our Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConlogue, who are currently battling it out over in Brussels, I suppose, to try and minimise the impact of these eco-schemes on farmers. Because I suppose when you touch the direct payments, you touch farmers' incomes. When we look at the likes of our suckler and sheep sectors, I mean, they're more than 100% dependent on average on their direct payments. So these eco-schemes will form a key part of farmers' incomes.
So this this new cap that's coming in, we've mentioned eco-schemes and sort of broadening. A lot of people think it's essentially sort of the greening of things. It's all really tied in with climate, environment, and also animal welfare, a big part of it.
Yeah, animal welfare was added to the list, I suppose, later on. I suppose the European Parliament, and that was elected in 2019, has quite an animal welfare focus, as does the European Commissioner, Janusz Wojciechowski, who was a formerly headed up reports on animal welfare. So that is a priority at European level. So that could see the likes of on-farm welfare assessments added into eco-schemes. So I suppose it broadens out the range of options beyond the likes of climate and environment. But it's a clear shift in EU policy away from supporting food production or for food security, as you mentioned at the top of the programme.
So is the farmer in Donegal going to be doing exactly the same thing as a farmer in southern Italy or Portugal with regard to the eco-schemes, or will they be tailor-fit for individual countries' needs?
Yeah, so I suppose this is where the national level will have that discretion to decide the measures. At an EU level, they will set the amount of budget that has to be set aside for it, but it will be left up to member states to design what they feel is appropriate for farmers. So, as you say, a farmer in southern Italy farming olive is not doing the same thing as a suckler farmer in the likes of Mayo or Sligo. So it's important that every country can put things together that suit farmers, because otherwise, I suppose there is a fear there that these are quite novel and they're quite new. And if farmers aren't comfortable with them or decide not to opt into them, you could see a significant proportion of direct payments left behind and unspent. And in that case, they could return to Brussels. And I suppose that would be a situation that no one would want to see. I suppose these payments are valuable not only to farmers, but also the wider rural community where the farmers will ultimately spend that money.
Different countries will have different priorities. Minister Charlie McConlogue will be obviously fighting the Irish case. Are we sort of in with other countries that have a similar viewpoint? Or do we have particular opposition for our sort of views and things?
I suppose on the eco-scheme front, we're quite united with many of the farm ministers. They all share a similar concern of not wanting to see too many payments taken out of farmers' pockets and put into different places. I suppose that creates uncertainty and unrest among farmers. In other areas, we're a little bit more isolated. So I suppose when we look at the likes of our entitlement-based payment system, we're in the minority of European countries there. The majority of countries have a fully flat payment at this point. So convergence is still being talked around at European level. It looks like full flattening is unlikely, but that's not to say it does look like convergence will be stepped up. The original proposal was 75%. We're now going to a situation of 85%. And also on Tuesday night, a new element emerged from the talks, and that was to make front-loaded payments mandatory. And essentially what these are a top-up payment on top of a farmer's existing payment on the set number of first couple of hectares. So I suppose it's to help support small or maybe medium farmers. So there is a number of different elements there on top of eco-schemes that will be moving payments around. I mean, when we consider them all together, it's almost up to half of farmers' payments will be on the move. You know, up to 40% could be fully flattened and the rest subject to convergence. So that is a lot of money moving around. And I suppose as a farmer, it depends on what side of the average entitlement that you fall, where you'll come out on this side of the debate.
And just a couple of final questions, Barry. Firstly, will there be more bureaucracy for the typical Donegal farmer out there? And secondly, as these talks conclude, when will the new arrangements come into place?
Yeah, I suppose on the bureaucracy side, the big hope for this cap had been that it would shift away from a compliance-based model more to performance-based. That's looking somewhat unlikely now at this point when you consider someone will have to obviously inform farmers how to carry out these eco-scheme measures, and someone will also have to check that they do it. I suppose the hope might be that the farmers that do more could be rewarded more, and that might, I suppose, rather than punishing farmers who don't comply with the rules, it might incentivize farmers to perform better. On an outcome point of view, there is hope that there could be a deal by the end of the week. If that is the case, we move back to a national level and develop our plan by the end of this year. And then by 2023, this new cap will come into play. And it's at that point that we'll see the majority of the changes that are agreed this week.
And that was Barry Cassidy, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news, the 11th meeting of the TB Forum was held this week with updates on the current situation. The success of the new inconclusive policy was highlighted, with many high-risk inconclusive cattle now being identified as infected much more quickly by blood sampling. The forum also discussed the need for a renewed focus on communicating about TB risk and ways for farmers to protect their cattle. And finally, farmers and vets working in the dairy, pig, beef and sheep sectors on the island of Ireland are being asked to complete a survey to provide their views on how antibiotics are used in agriculture. Well, that's just about it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. Well, a forecast and cloud increasing into this evening, bringing outbreaks of rain, mostly moderate southeast winds. They'll become light overnight with rain clearing eastwards. Overnight lows 5 to 7 degrees Celsius with some mist and fog patches. Any mist and fog will clear during tomorrow morning, giving a dry day with sunny spells. Highs on Friday of 14 to 16 degrees Celsius in light northerly or variable breezes. The main stories in brief, and the HSE says it's still a long way from having most services back up and running following the recent cyber attack. Chemotherapy services now operating at between 80 and 100% capacity. There's still major disruption to radiotherapy. Some of Letterkenny University Hospital's services have been restarted. Limited services have resumed in the radiology department, but others are still restricted. Full details on our website. The Tánaiste has conceded the government will miss its target of having 82% of adults given a first vaccination by the end of June. Supply delays in two of the four vaccines have emerged today, and ministers are meeting this evening to decide on what restrictions will ease in July. The Cabinet Subcommittee on COVID is considering medical advice. An announcement is expected tomorrow. And that's Highland Radio News for now. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 27th of May. The death has taken place of Harriet Duffin, Derry Real, Falkara, County Donegal. A private funeral will take place on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. It can be viewed on the Victorian Chapel webcam on Vimeo. A celebration will be held in Donegal at a later date. Donations, if desired, in lieu of flowers to the workhouse Dunfanaghy or Blackrock Hospice. The death has taken place of Kathleen Cassie McGonigal, Derryreal, Falkara. Her remains will repose in St Finian's Church, Falkara, from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 12 noon with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Due to HSE and government guidelines, funeral and burial are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv/camera/St Finian's Church, Falkara. The death has taken place of Jerry Meehan, Gortlea, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his home. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Gortlea, Letterkenny. Burial afterwards in St Mary's Cemetery, Remelton. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Funeral Mass can be viewed on the Church of the Irish Martyrs Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Patrick Sweeney, funeral directors. And the death has taken place of Mary Doherty, Penna, Breda Glen, Moville. Funeral from her home tomorrow morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Columbus Church, Ballinacrae, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Ardeven, Carndonagh, care of any family member.